Mark chapter number 6 is the way that I feel like the Lord's really been leading me today. And boy, just been coming to me every time. I've been praying and begging God to help us. And I want nothing more than to follow the leadership of the Lord. I don't want to try to impress anyone. I'm not trying to do anything like that. All I'm simply trying to do is serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all we need to do. This is not a show. This is not a program for us to try to show different talents and things. This is just simply for us to brag on Jesus Christ. And I love bragging on Him. Now, several of you just love to brag on your grandchildren. I understand that. And I made the comment this morning when I was preaching that I've gone over to my mom and dad's house with Dr. Steve, and I drove up and got out, and Dad meets us at the garage door and says, "Hey, son, where are the kids?" I said, "I'm right here." No, I'm not talking about you. Where are them grandbabies? They want to know where those grandbabies are. But it's okay, I understand. Praise God, but they had to endure me before they got the grandbabies. Amen. He did tell me one time, Brother Jose, he said, "If I would have known they was this good, I would have had them first." But I don't know how that works, but we're thankful. Mark chapter number 6, just bragging on Jesus Christ. You know exactly what's going on here, not unfamiliar scripture as we look at it. Jesus Christ is returning with his disciples, and then he's fed the 5,000. And then as we go on in chapter number 6, verse number 45 is where I want to begin reading. In chapter number 6 of the book of Mark, verse number 45, the Bible says, "And straightway," that is one of the key words in the book of Mark. As you begin to read through the book of Mark, you're going to be seeing "straightway" a lot. "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." Now, you see Jesus Christ. He does a whole lot of praying. And I thank God that that is exactly what we should do. The exact example that God has given to us is that we should pray as Jesus Christ prayed. I was talking with Brother Joseph Moats this afternoon, and he said, just had a phrase. He was over there. He was scribbling on a notepad. I said, "What you writing down?" I said, "You got a sermon?" He said, "I don't know. I'm just hoping I'll be able to read it when I get done." And I said, "Well, what's the thought?" He said, "Well, I was just praying, and I was reading my Bible, and a phrase jumped out at me, 'Pray like Jesus prayed.'" And boy, that's what we need to do, is dedicate our lives to the way that Jesus Christ prayed. And in verse number 47, the Bible says this, "And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land." And look at this verse number 48. "And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them, and about the fourth watch of the night he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea," but look at this phrase, "and would have passed them by." And would have passed them by. I want to preach tonight on Jesus, please don't pass me by. Please do not pass by me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, that you are in control, and God, that you have these situations that have been in the Bible, God, that you have given to us for us to be able to reap, Lord, the truths out of them. And Lord, I pray that you would just touch us right now, right here. God, I pray that you'd guard my mouth and my mind, that I'd preach, God, as you'd have me to preach, Lord. Let the ears that are listening this evening, God, I pray that they would be blessed by your word and, what you have spoken into these people's lives this evening. Lord, bless those that are online. God, I pray that you'd help the families that are in time of bereavement now. Lord, I pray you'd comfort them, bless them, God. Lift them up and encourage them, Lord. Lord, those that are struggling, Lord, those that are sick, God, I pray that you'd heal them, Lord. Lift them up, God, that they might be able to come and be a miracle for you and testimony for you through your holy name. And Lord, it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray all of these things. Amen and amen. I have had many times in my life where I was in the midst of a trial. And I don't know about you guys, but I've always heard you're either going into, in the middle of, or coming out of a trial, a storm, a tribulation, some sort of issue in your life. And many times I have faced it. And many times I've thought that I was going to sink into the depths of what was going on and the despair that was around me. And the disciples here are in the midst of the sea, and they're seeing that everything is coming around them. This bad storm is raging. But we can go about about our lives sometimes and it seems like smooth sailing. Now, I like smooth sailing. How many of you love smooth sailing? Now, I love smooth sailing. Years ago, I'll be honest with you, I bought a boat, praise God. And I was so excited about the boat that I bought. I've heard people say that they need to name it Visitation. So on Saturdays, they're always on Visitation. And you'll get that after a while. But I didn't do that. I had this boat and I loved it. And it was a boat that I could go fishing on. It was a boat that I could pull the kids on inner tubes and sling them through the air. And boy, take them to the hospital after we got done. And it just, you know, just good times. Just enjoying ourselves. And really just enjoyed that. Well, one Saturday, I told Heather, baby, we just need to go down and we'll get up early and we'll go down there and we'll get on the lake. And everything was looking great. The glass, the way it just looked like glass going across the lake. And we put that boat on the water and started sailing across there and everything just seemed to be smooth. But then all of a sudden, if you've ever been to West Point Lake, every storm that comes through Georgia passes over West Point Lake, it seems like. And just at the drop of a hat, I saw clouds at one moment, and Heather said, we might need to get to the edge or get somewhere to take some cover because it looks like, and me being the man that I am, it'll be all right. We're already wet, right? Come on, you men know exactly what I'm talking about. I will be all right. And the next thing I know, the waves are getting a little larger and the rain's getting a little harder. And then the kids are starting to cry because the rain is starting to hurt them. And so I do what every smart man does that is newly to owning a boat. I drive under a bridge. So the waves get bigger and we start to crash and we start getting up. And I'm going to be honest with you. I was starting to get upset. I was starting to get a little nervous. I was thinking, does everybody have their life jackets? Is everybody okay? Is everybody holding on to somebody? Do we know everything that's going on? And my wife was praying, Lord, if you just get us out, we'll never get on this boat again. I said, don't make promises he ain't willing to keep. And she said, I am willing to keep this promise. And I'll be honest with you, about 2 months later, she sold my boat in a yard sale. Honest truth. It was fun, I tell you. I went home, Brother Jim. I said, Brother, how'd you do on the yard sale? And she said, oh, I did great. I made this much money. I said, wow, how'd you make that much money? She said, you remember your boat? I said, remember? Yeah, it was gone. But hey, we didn't need it anyway. Now, see, I'll be honest with you. I was getting real nervous when I was on that West Point Lake. And I'm sure that the storm that the disciples were going through right then and right at that moment was a lot worse than what was happening on the little lake that I was on. They didn't have a bridge to go and try to get under. Here they were toiling. And it says, the Bible says that Jesus saw them toiling and rowing and going about and almost in circles. And by the fourth watch of the night, the darkest point of the night, Jesus Christ goes and begins to walk on what they're afraid of. You get that, the fact that Jesus Christ is not afraid of the storm. He just starts walking across the top of it. He just starts walking and he's doing exactly what he's doing. And I'm sure that storm was a difficult thing, but they feared for their lives. And these were men that were used to being on lakes. They were used to being on these seas. They were used to doing this because they were fishermen that knew those sort of things. But Christ went walking on the water. But the phrase that jumped out at me was the fact that he said, and the Bible says this, and how many of you believe the Bible does not lie? Amen. The Bible says, and would have passed them by. Would have just gone on past them. Jesus is walking on the storm. He's going. He's minding his own business. He's doing exactly what they... But then in verse number 49, it says this, and when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit. And what did they do? And they cried out. They cried out to Jesus Christ. Now, there's been times in my life where I've been in the middle of storms and I've been in the middle of trials and problems, and Jesus Christ has come walking on those storms. And had I not cried out, maybe I would have missed some things. Maybe if it was, Brother Steve, if I was thinking, I can make it through this storm myself, I don't need the help of anybody else. I can make it through this storm. And boy, I just wonder how many times I have gone and been hard-headed. Well, I thought you wives would have said amen every once in a while there. We men seem to get a little hard-headed, and we're trying to do, but they would have missed a few things. And I begin to read through the scripture, and what would have they missed had they not cried out to Jesus Christ? I'm so glad, Brother John, I'm glad that God hears my prayers when I cry out to Him. God knows exactly what's going on in my heart. God knows exactly when I'm crying out to Him, and He comes to me and He saves me just at that moment. And you think, well, what would have they missed? Well, look at verse number 50 with me. For they saw Him and were troubled, and immediately He talked with them. Thank God that His words comfort me. And He says that they were talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Glory to God, hallelujah, goes right there. When you begin to think of it, what would have they missed had they not cried out to God if He just would have kept on passing by and they would not have cried out? They would have missed the Word of God of encouragement to them. Oh, I don't want to spend time in my trials and tribulations and in the storms of life and say, boy, I missed out on the Word of God because I didn't want to cry out or didn't want help. I don't want to miss the Word of God. I praise God for His blessed Word. I thank God that He gives us His Word. He gives us the Bible. And we're able to know exactly what God has and intends for us. I'll even more love even more that He hears me. And when I speak to Him. And thank God that He speaks to me. And these disciples, they were troubled. But comfort comes when you hear the sweet voice of Jesus Christ. You ever been in one of them times where just it seemed like the world was coming against you and everything was coming down, that storm was raging? Then all of a sudden you cry out to Jesus Christ and He says, fear not. Glory to God. Thank God that He says, fear not. And thanks God that He says that it is I. Thank God it doesn't send anybody else to come and help me. But the Lord Himself comes and delivers us. He's telling us to be cheerful. And you say, well, what in the world do they have to be cheerful about? They're in the middle of a storm. But thank God, when you're in the middle of the storm and Jesus Christ is in the middle there with you, you've got the sweetest, calmest, most peaceful time that you've ever been in. You can be in the storm, but thank God that we can have peace in the middle of a storm. When we have peace in that storm, we can be cheerful because of that. The Bible actually says that defined actually to be cheerful, or to be of good cheer, it says to have courage. To be courageous. What did He tell Joshua? Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. What is He telling us? To be courageous. Why? Because Jesus Christ is on our side. John chapter number 16, Jesus says this in verse number 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In this world you may have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thank God that He has overcome anything that making me afraid or making me not understanding what is going on. Thank God that I can have courage because of who I know and who I'm related to. I'm thankful that I have that. I have that peace. I have that sweet peace. He says, be not afraid. What do we need to be afraid of? Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm afraid of heights. I don't know about you guys, but I'm afraid of heights. Some people are afraid of dogs. Some people are afraid of a lot of things. But if you get me more than 6 feet up in the air, I'm a little leery. My wife put me in one of these Ferris wheels where they pump air so you can breathe because you're in outer space when you get to the top of the place. At least that's the way it felt to me. They're pumping air into that spot, and I'm afraid. And what did I do? She actually, would you believe that she, Brother Steve, she took a picture of me in that torture chamber. And I'm holding on to one side of it and holding on to the other side of it. My knuckles are turning red, white, and blue. Praise God, I was getting patriotic up there. And I'm just sitting there, I got my eyes closed, and they tell me, oh, look how beautiful, look how, and why they have to jump around in that sky bucket, I don't understand why they got to do that. Here they are, they're just jumping around, and I'm feeling every move and everything, and I'm thinking, would you please stop, would you please stop? And she says, Shane, look, and I opened my eyes for just a second, and I started praying to Jesus to just take me right now, Lord, just take me, I'm so close right now, I ain't got that far to go, just let me go. But I'm a little afraid of things. But the Bible tells us you don't have anything to fear. Now, we understand those things, but when the storms, the trials, the tribulations of life, when Satan comes against us, when the demons of hell comes and attacks us, do we have to be afraid? Absolutely not, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen? But I got that to be, I don't need to be afraid. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm thankful that we have. Who I should be afraid of? The back of the book is awesome. And we've gone through a good study in the book of Revelation. And guess what I found out? In the back, we win. Aren't you glad that you know who wins at the end of the story? That we don't have to worry because the end of the book has already been written. Glory to God. Jesus Christ is already seated on the throne. And I'm thankful that he already knows who wins at the end. And I've already read in Revelation where it says that he takes the devil and all the demons and casts them into the bottomless pit. Glory to God. And then into hell and the fiery pits of hell. And I'm thankful that at the end that I'm still around the throne of God praising him, and the devil has been banished forever, and thankful that I know who wins and I know whose side I'm on. And why should I be afraid of those things when I know that Jesus is already victorious? Oh my. You say you would have missed the word. Well, if they would have not cried out, would have they missed the word of God? My, but then I begin to look, and then when you begin to look in the mirror images or the mirror scriptures of that, Matthew chapter number 14, I saw something else, Brother John. Not only whether they missed the word of God, him saying, it's me, it is I, be not afraid, but he would have missed the hand of God. Peter would have missed the hand of God. When Peter got out of the boat and jumped down and began to walk across, and he got focused on everything that was on his left and his right. And by the way, the Bible tells us, don't look left and right. We need to make sure that we're looking straight ahead at the Savior that we're serving. But Peter got focused on everything else and began to sink. And immediately, thank God. Have you ever been close to something but couldn't touch it? I've been so close to things, trying to get a hold of something, and it's just right there on the fingertips. And Peter was on his way. And I don't know how far he was from Jesus Christ. The Bible really truly doesn't tell us that, but Peter was so close, but he was still afraid. Wow. Why would we be afraid when we're on our way to Jesus Christ? But yet he was. In Matthew chapter number 14, it says this, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Verse number 31, and immediately Jesus stretched forth out his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? The hand of God, let me tell you this, the hand of God will not fail you. Never once have I been failed by the hand of God. Never once have I ever needed something and asked for God to step in and he let me down or said, I don't have time for you. But the hand of God has caught me. Thank God that he's already caught me from going into the depths of hell. I don't have to go to hell because of what Jesus Christ did for me. And the hand of God has reached down and picked me up out of the miry clay of sin. The hand of God has picked me up out of all those awful things that I could have been in the middle of. Boy, I'm telling you, right now I can just stand by the grace of God and the mercy of God and thank God that he has been good to me. And I want to tell you, he's been good to me, and I don't know how good he's been to you, but thank God that we can all shout it out and say, he has saved me from the depths of hell. Thank God. How is that? By the blood of Jesus Christ, by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the hand of God has rescued me. Caught me out of these things. And immediately he stretched out and caught him. Boy, when I was a kid, I believed my dad could do anything. How many of you probably thought the same thing? You believed that. And I got older. Almost said larger. I got larger too. I get there and boy, used to when I was standing on the edge of something and dad say, come on, jump and I'll catch you. I wouldn't have thought twice. I'll be honest with you, Brother Gary. If Brother Don Roy was to come down right here and say, come on, son, I'll catch you. I'm sorry, Dad, I love you, but I don't trust you right now. He'd probably move on me, amen. No, I'm telling you, but the hand of God that caught me, was much larger than my earthly father's hand that could ever do anything. Boy, the hand that has caught me is the same hand that he holds everything that he's ever been in his palm of his hand. In John chapter number 28, or chapter number 10, verse number 28, he actually talks about that I give unto them the sheep, the eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The hand of God that is so wonderful, the hand of God that is so powerful, mighty, strong hand of God. That's what we're in the middle of, and that's what we have to depend on. And boy, sometimes when we're in the middle of a trial and tribulation, and we just see that Jesus may be close by, but we don't cry out to Him, we miss the mighty hand of God moving in powerful way. May that we just say, Jesus, don't pass me by. Let me be in the midst of Your hand. Boy, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can take us from the hand of God. Begin to look a little further in Matthew. Had they not cried out, had He not come on to them, they would have missed the worship of God too. I wonder how many of us really miss out on worshiping God. Matthew chapter number 14, verse number 32, the Bible says this, and when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. What amazes me about all that is the fact that, Brother Jose, the Bible doesn't say that as soon as Jesus grabbed Peter by the hand, the storm stopped. We don't know how far the walk was for Peter and Jesus to continue on. And to be honest with you, I don't know. It may have been that Jesus just picked Peter up and carried him the rest of the way in. I don't know if he held him hand in hand. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But it does tell us that he reached down, the hand of God picked him up, caught him, and pulled him out of that sea. And then they were in the ship. Then verse number 33, the Bible says this, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped Him. They were in the ship. They were where they were supposed to be. They were in the spot. They were in their place. The right place to worship God. Now, I'm not going to say you have to be here to worship God. You don't have to be at church in a pew to worship God. I can worship. I worshiped God a good bit yesterday. I had a lot of windshield time. And I worshiped God driving down the road. Now, I maybe drove a little faster than I probably should have, because God and I were having such a good time together. But I worshiped God. But you have to be in the right place. A position of worship. You have to be in a position to worship properly. And the Bible tells us in John chapter number 4, when He's talking to the lady, the woman at the well, He says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Me must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the worship of God is something that's an internal thing. Worshiping God is a spirit. God doesn't want the fake stuff. You ever see, Lord help me, I've seen people worship God fake. And to be honest with you, it makes us sick. It ought to. How many of you like fake things? How many of you love tea? We're in the South, and there is no other thing than sweet tea. My wife decided that she was going to help me. Don't you love it when your wife helps you? She went and she said, well, sugar may not be the best thing for you, Shane. I said, I'm doing just fine, baby. It'll be all right. So she makes some tea, and then she goes and she gets this stuff called Splenda. It was awful. Now, if you like Splenda, praise God. Not for me. It's fake sugar. I began to look at the content. I said, show me this stuff. And she said, well, here it is. It looks like baking powder, not even sugar. I said, this is terrible. You can't make tea with that. Don't waste a good pot of tea on that stuff right there. Now, I know some of you are thinking, oh, Brother Shane, bless your heart, you should be doing better. Well, when the Lord tells me to drink Splenda, then I'll start drinking Splenda. But until then, I want the real thing. I want real sugar. I want the real stuff. I don't want anything fake. And God doesn't want your worship to be fake. As a matter of fact, I believe that it's disgusting to God when you try to fake your worship. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, my worship is not the same as my wife's worship. Your worship is not the same as my worship. Other people's work, we worship in different ways. My wife, praise God, you want to know if she's about ready to run the aisles, you look back at my wife, and if there's a tear running down one of her cheeks, to her, that's running a lap around this church. Now me, on the other hand, I'm a little more animated. Just a little. I'm a little more animated. And I actually like to raise my hands. And I like to praise God. And I like to worship in another way. But I don't want to fake worship. God doesn't want you to do the fake thing. You say, well, what is a time of worship? The time of worship is right now. When you decide to get in your heart in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ and begin to hone in and open the Word of God, you can go home tonight and worship God by yourself. You can worship God in your car on the way home. And I preached out of the Psalms this morning in the morning service, and the Psalms are the songbook of the children of Israel, and they came to church singing songs. Now, they didn't sing Prop Me Up by the Jukebox When I Die. They didn't sing those sort of songs on the way. Oh, man, y'all know what I'm talking about. Everybody sitting there, I don't know what you're talking about. They know. They were singing songs of worship to get their heart prepared. See, we think that coming to church to worship is for, okay, come in, sit down, I'm going to sing some songs, and then I'm going to be ready to hear the Word of God. And that, and to be honest with you, a song service is for that reason. You're supposed to do that. That is preparing. But boy, Brother Ray, how much more would we see God move if the people of God came to church prepared, already to worship God? Boy, they would have missed out on worshiping God. Now let me ask you this evening, where are you? Do you need a word from God to help you through the trial, tribulation, and the fact that you're going through something in your life? Do you need a word of God, or do you need the hand of God to move mightily in your life? Or maybe you just want to clear out a little space and worship God tonight. Just clear out a little time and say, I just want to worship you. Lord, I'm not coming to you to request a prayer request. I'm not coming to tell you that I need this need, or I have this thing, or this person is in my life. God, I'm just coming to you tonight to tell you how holy you are, to tell you how wonderful you are, to tell you how majestic you are, to just brag on the Son of God. Just worship you tonight. We can all be in different places. But do you know how all this begins? And they cried out. When's the last time you got real with God and cried out to Him? I was reading through some E.M. Bounds books about prayer. And if you ever read some E.M. Bounds stuff, I'm telling you, that's some great, great stuff. You need to read it. If you've never heard of it, talk to me after service. But it is real prayer, real revival praying, when you begin to hear people use terms like, oh. When you begin to hear terms of crying out, and they're not formulating the perfect prayer that we think is, boy, that's a beautiful prayer, but they're just sharing their heart and giving it to the Lord. Boy, the Word of God comes to us. The hand of God moves, and the worship of God can be great. when we just begin to cry out. Maybe tonight we need to do some crying out. Maybe tonight we need to do some real soul searching and saying, Lord, when's the last time that I just got real with you? I wasn't formulating prayers. I was not forming words or trying to impress somebody next to me. But I was just sharing with you, Lord, how I feel. He already knows. And He cares. He just desires for us to share with Him. Why don't we just go ahead and say, Lord, I'm crying out to you tonight. Jesus, don't pass me by. If He's coming by, don't pass me, Lord. Come to me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for this time that you've given to each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you.